Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Sure is that time, and just like clockwork, the baby is making noise.
She loves to make noises because she loves to be a part of it. Oh, can you see how long? She's really long. So when I get her up, she's like too long. She loves the mic. How's it going?
Good, how are you? It's great to have you here.
She's done a poo. Oh my God, she's done a poo.
Oh no.
Code brown.
It's kind of code turmeric, but that's all right. As long as you guys don't mind. Look, we're living and breathing what life is like as a mum in the theatre in the fast lane. Well, it's not really the fast lane. It's like kind of slow and treacherous and filled with explosions of poop. But anyway, apart from that, look, life is good. Oh my God, I just clocked that. It's so funny. But I'm not here alone. We are here with Plum Theatre. We're talking about A Doll's House Part 2, which is playing at the Herald Theatre at the moment. Welcome, Laura and Danielle.
Hello.
This show, it's so postmodern. I mean, you've got Ibsen's Dollhouse, which is, of course, a kind of a classic, I guess, in the canon of sort of 20th century classic theatre. But this is like, imagine, if you will, what might happen if. Like, it's kind of one of those, it's almost like a classic writing provocation. And it takes place,
Fifteen years later,
We land back in the same context, but a couple of things from the first, I guess play, but like the first narrative didn't happen as they were supposed to. Can you tell me? Yeah, what is the context we're landing in?
So, yeah, A Doll's House feels wrong to call it part one. It's Henrik Ibsen. It's a classic, you know, it stands all by itself. And that was, you know, the scandalous story at the time of a woman who, in the interest of self-fulfillment, left her husband and children, and walked out and slammed the door.
Which is very, I mean, yeah, it's so evocative. I mean, I'd even say even now it actually still has its place, right? But yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, shocking in 1879 when it was first produced. And then in 2017, I think, it was Lucas Naith wrote A Doll's House Part 2, where he was like, okay, so there's this iconic character of Nora, who, you know, who left her family to, you know, follow her own interests, and he imagines what happens if she comes back 15 years later and has to face the people that she left behind. So she's got all these huge political ideas, but then she has to face the personal repercussions of what she did.
Yeah, so Laura, you're playing the role of Nora, is that correct?
Yeah.
What's it like to step into a role like that that's already highly politically and socially charged? Like, what is that? What is it like? Because people will be projecting a lot of stuff on you, right? Like,
it was pretty challenging. You kind of go, this is one of the most iconic characters in the theatrical canon, right? It's you know, like, men play Hamlet, women play Nora, kind of vibes.
Yes.
So yeah, quite interesting to kind of go, I'm taking on this character, but at the same time, it's a version of her that most people won't know because this is a new play. So although there are you know, expectations of, you know, how she might be or who she is, this is Nora 15 years on, and she's lived a life, you know, of her own, and that's what you hear about during the play. But yeah, so it's kind of same but different. She says, you know, I'm not the same person I was when I left, and you see that in the play.
Yes. Daniel, talk to me about your part in the play. Who or what are you playing or doing?
Yeah, so I'm playing the role of Emmy, and I suppose she's one of the people in the play that gives Nora a piece of her mind on behalf of, I suppose, the audience today. So she's got a completely different opinion as to what Nora has, and so I suppose that's pretty interesting for the audience to be hearing both sides of the story.
So she's my daughter.
Yes.
And it's like to think through the fallout per se. What has it been like in the room as you've been rehearsing it to actually confront these politics? Like, is there room in the rehearsal room to actually discuss how you guys feel about that? Or has it been more like, no, let's just focus on the play?
I mean, we spoke about it a lot at the beginning when we had our first read through of the play, but I suppose the more you go through rehearsals, the more you think about it, you know, you pick up another sentence that sort of resonates with you and clicks with you, and you go home and you have time to think about it, and I suppose that'll that all comes together eventually.
With the actual play. Laura, for you, like...
Yeah, well, this is the thing. The thing, interesting thing, I think, is that although this play... So this play is still set... in, what, 1894 or whatever it is now, 15 years later. But the language is contemporary. All the dialogue is so contemporary.
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's very colloquial.
Yes.
But the ideas still feel so relevant, even though it's set, you know, late 19th century, it still feels so relevant. You know, what role does a woman have outside of being a wife and a mother?
Yes.
You know, these expectations or societal expectations, you know, is it good to follow them? Is it good to break tradition? I mean, this is the thing with the mother-daughter thing. Like, so Nora comes in with all these kind of visionary political kind of ideas, and then, you know, Emmy, the daughter, kind of goes, yeah, but this is the personal thing, this is what it means to me, and this is what, kind of what I want. And so it's that clash of the political and personal in these two characters, I think, is really interesting. But yeah, still feels so relevant, you know, when you talk about leaving your children. And then, and that, I have this great line, it says, you know, I think there's something in our time and place and culture that teaches us to expect or even want women who leave their families to be punished. And it's just, it still feels like there is a bit of that, that women are judged for their decisions about their lives versus child rearing, say, in a way that men aren't. That still feels really relevant.
Yes, and how to that? It's got on topical. I literally run from a mum's group to the studio to do this, and in that mum's group, we were just actually talking about the returning to work sort of situation. And despite it seeming like you either really desire to go back, and people go, "Oh, you don't want to be with your baby," or you want to spend time with your baby, and you're like heralded as being like brave for staying at home, and it's like, you know, you can't win, obviously. And within that, it's not a binary as well, because there's a spectrum of experiences that kind of colour that. What has been your process then to get into Nora? What's been a part of something that you've been exploring or like wanting to sort of investigate with that character on stage?
Well, something I planned to do and didn't, so this is not super helpful. Clementine Ford, her latest book is called I Don't.
And it's
about, basically, from what I can gather, sort of a diatribe against the institution of marriage.
Yes.
And that feels so relevant to what Nora says in this play. I didn't get to read it because I was so busy learning lines.
Yes.
There are a lot of words in this play. But I think... I don't know, my process generally is just, it's all in the text. Like, it's all there for me. And
text
so,
of the Bible.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's all there. And Lucas Naith is such a great writer. These are just these really strong, you know, ideas and arguments from all the different characters. So it's all there just to dig into.
What about you, Danielle? What's been a kind of a key or a way for you to have accessed playing your role in sort of the logic? Because also sometimes we play characters where we don't necessarily align to what the character is supposed to say. Mm. So yeah, what was it like for you to kind of explore this character?
Yeah, well, I mean, this character is totally different from who I am as a person.
Cool.
And so at first it was, honestly, it was a bit tough. Like, it was so good to have Paul Gittins as my first director ever. He was so patient with me. And I suppose just every day in rehearsals we went through and asked questions about the character and what she would be thinking. And I suppose, yeah, it was a gradual process.
Mm.
Yeah, and it was, I don't think I didn't get it for a while, but then... it all just sort of just clicked in place.
And sometimes it takes an audience for that to click.
Totally.
Because you're hearing the way that it lands.
Yeah.
You've been on for a week, been hearing and seeing extraordinary responses to the work. Mm. You're on for a week more at the Herald Theatre, is that correct?
Yeah, we finish on the 1st of December, I think, is our last show.
Who is this show for? Like, before I was saying it, they're like, oh, just even the provocation of, like, what might happen if, is, like, theatre nerds will be, like, losing their nut over this work. And I think presumably you've been getting those diehard theatre fans coming and being like, I want to see this, or, you know, or they've, like, read the text and want to see it stood up. But who might be interested in a work like The Doll's House Part 2?
Anyone who's in a relationship.
Everyone who's not in a relationship and doesn't want to be in one.
Do you know what? I also think, like, sometimes I'm, like, thinking about my mum's group being like, ah, some of those interesting concepts of, like, gender politics, get it played out in front of you in a fictional narrative and allow that to provoke some interesting conversations. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely happening. Like the audiences we've had, the response afterwards, whether that's, you know, a woman in her 80s or a young guy in his 20s, like they're totally engaged with these characters and the ideas, because it doesn't matter what age you are, if you're in a relationship and how you feel about someone, it's like, you know, the similar kinds of arguments, or you know, you'll find a point of connection.
Totally. So A Doll's House 2, directed by Paul Giddens as well, which is, you guys got a stunning cast. Also seeing Laura Hill on stage. I mean, of course you've got an illustrious career in theatre and in television. So I'm assuming it's nice to go back to theatre for a little bit.
Well, yeah, I'm super lucky. This is my second play this year. So that's a real treat. And having gone from the previous one of Roger Hall comedy, which is like real mainstream, middle of the road kind of thing. Yeah, and then this one, which is, you know, and was just delightful and full houses and everyone adored it, you know, for their audience. And then this one, which is just, I don't know, got a little bit more edge to it, and it's just sort of a bit more kind of, you know, kind of oomph to it. And that's absolutely no shade on Roger Hall. That man has saved so many theatres across the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it is a sort of a different kind of vibe, and just, yeah, with a fantastic cast to work with, and just really get your teeth stuck into, and audiences are responding to it, which is awesome.
Beautiful. So Herald Theatre, we also love that theatre because of that rake. It's amazing to be able to see the full stage. They have a crying room as well. So look, if halfway through the show you want to break out and go have a cry, there's that, and there's like a big window so you can keep watching. And I think they've got the comms in there so you can actually hear what's happening in the stage. On for another week, go to Auckland Live to grab your tickets for that through Ticketmaster, or else I'm sure you can check it out. If you, it's on Heart of the City, you can go and check it out and then follow the link through. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
I was going to say crisis averted, but no, the crisis is literally in my hand.
Oh, dumb. No. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. For everyone listening, that was Alice Kenton speaking with Laura Hill and Danielle Meelings about A Doll's House Part 2. You can get your tickets from aucklandlive.co.nz. Thank you all so much. We'll be right back to give you your arts guide for this week. That was Stage Direction.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Kenton.